take your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. How many of y'all like still drinking milk? Amen, most people. Is anybody allergic to milk? I feel sorry for you. Amen. I love milk. I used to live on a dairy farm, but I'll tell you one thing. If you've seen some of the things at that dairy farm, you might not drink so much milk. But there was nothing like it. That shows how, I guess, filthy I am. Even though I worked in that thing and saw all that stuff, I'd still go to that tank and drink straight from that tank. There's nothing quite like that, man. It's good milk. But tonight in John chapter 12, this might be some milk to you, but you can't ever go wrong with a nice glass of milk.
That's right.
That's for me, all right? John chapter 12, if I can get there. And then before we get into it, we'll pray. Now, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Yeah. I pray that you just please bless your word this evening, Father, and bless your folks, Lord. I thank you for what you've given to me through these scriptures, God, and I just pray that you confirm them to these folks here, Lord. And God, I just pray that you get all the honor and glory tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for just how you've shown up in our lives already, Lord. I'm sure everybody in here can testify how you've been good to them.
Amen.
Lord, just being knowing that we're saved and that we have hope of heaven, God, is ample enough, Lord. God, I just pray that you just bless the evening now, Lord, and this time. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming, to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And look down in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And if there's anything that you guys should have emanating in your heart and in your life right now, the hour is now for Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, to be glorified in your life. And look what it says in the next verse, in verse 24. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I was looking at the thing just a little while ago, and it says, if a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, if it die, it's almost saying if it might not die. I mean, obviously, it'll die eventually, but it says it abideth alone. And I was thinking about that thing. We know what the Bible says about the Christian life and how Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said another time, he said, I die daily. I think a lot of the issues in Christians' lives is they're just not dead to themselves and dead to this world. We've heard that thing preached many times, and it almost might be like a beaten horse to you. But like I said, it ought to emanate in your heart that you have a higher purpose than the rudiments of this world and the lower things that are down in this life. And I think that a lot of Christians are struggling because they are supposed to be dead to these things, but they're alive and well. This flesh is alive and well. And you ought to die to that thing. Except a corn of wheat falling into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we hear our pastor say all the time, we want to bring forth fruit and much fruit. And then we want to see the fruit remain. But something I was looking at, though, that glorification, what Jesus Christ was, his glorification, he said, and the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. In this case, I believe it's directly linked to his resurrection. And like I said, man, that might seem like a milky thing to you, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it shouldn't be, man. That is our entire hope tonight.
Amen.
Take your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That is our hope.
Amen.
I like hearing different things and other doctrines and so on and all that kind of stuff, but man, this is probably the most powerful couple of verses of Scripture you could read in the Bible. Right here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? First of all, let me just tell you, something that I've had to deal with, man, talking and witnessing to people, you realize how crazy you sound to a lost man?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've witnessed, there's a fellow in my mind in particular that it seems like every time I open my mouth and try to witness to him, it just goes right over his head. And I wonder if, is it my fault? Is it my fault? Am I not right? Or what's going on here? Is it my fault that this guy's not getting it? But you got to understand, man, that it's going to take faith on his part. It's going to take the faith that God gave every man, and he's going to have to come to a place in his heart, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to deal with his heart. And, yeah, I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, you have an element. You have to have some proof in the pudding. You have to have a little something to back up what you're preaching in your step and in your walk, in your conversation. That's what Paul told his Thessalonians. He said, our gospel came not in you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And he said, because you know what entering in we had among you and how we conducted ourselves among you. And so maybe I've questioned myself, is it because of me? Is it because of something? Is my heart not right with God that this guy is not getting this thing? But I'm just trusting the Lord that he's going to get it. And so you know what you always do? You always revert right back and say, listen, man, Jesus Christ, he can take you from Genesis to Revelation, or I can take him from Genesis to Revelation, try to explain all these different things. But what none of that matters for that man right now unless he gets an understanding how that Christ died for his sins, was buried, and that he rose again. And that just sounds crazy to somebody. But you think about Jesus Christ, reading through the Gospels, I love reading the Gospels. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the things that Jesus Christ said to those religious Pharisees and to everybody, the things that he said, it was just off the wall, some of that stuff. I mean, think about it. He said, I and my Father are one. I mean, and just how about the other time when he said about before Abraham was, I am? That really ticked those Pharisees off. They picked up them stones. They were ready to kill him right then and there. And so that's akin to what when we might witness somebody say, Jesus Christ lives inside of me. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? I mean, it's second nature to us now. What do you do? Go up or down with this thing? Down? Put it up here. All right. I always have trouble, man. All right. Is that good? All right, cool. But doesn't that sound crazy? You got a grown man living inside you? It's like what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus scratched his head. What's a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? How does that make sense? It doesn't, does it? Not physically. But with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen? And so this thing about the resurrection, Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so you should never shy away from preaching that thing because that is what our hope is based on. Amen. And look here, I started reading, but it says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith also is in vain. This whole thing is a sham. If Jesus Christ didn't rise again, folks, if you don't believe that, it's all vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Man, that's one of the greatest promises. That's one of the greatest hopes we have, folks that are saved. You're just talking about folks that passed away that might not have been right with God at the time, but they're saved. But that's the hope we have, that they're risen. They're going to rise again one day. Amen. That's a great promise in the scriptures we have. That's a great hope we have in the Word of God, that they're going to rise again. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's kind of what I was talking about over there in John. Unless the corn and wheat fall into the ground, unless it dies, man, you're just miserable. Unless you die to yourself in this life, if you get your eyes off of all the affections and lusts of this world, I'm telling you, you're just going to be most miserable in this life. And that's, I believe it's directly linked. I believe the glory of Jesus Christ is directly linked to his resurrection. That's right. That's his power. Amen. That's the power of the gospel right there, is that he rose again. Amen. And I'm glad that we have that our Savior that had to lay down his life and he had the power to take it up again. That'll stir you up, man. Amen. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, that's us, then cometh the end, and he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and so on and so forth. But man, that's a great promise. And I'm telling you, folks, glory. You think about glory. You think about take football. Everybody, you know, maybe not everybody likes football, but you think about glory. And I like watching old highlights from old football players because they weren't a bunch of sissies. Now, I mean, I know today that some of those guys, they probably run a lot faster and people are likely to get hurt and so on and so forth. But, man, you think about the glory of winning that football. You know, I don't know if you ever played sports. I mean, I know you guys play basketball. And it might just be, you know, come by and pass or whatever, but you want to win, don't you? Yeah. That's glory. It's victory. We sing victory in Jesus. That's the same thing as glory. Amen. Man, the glory. And we talk about glory. He shouts it, glory. Amen. Man, when we get to heaven, we'll be shouting glory. They call heaven glory. That's the finish line.
That's right.
That's glory. And it's because of the promise and the hope of the resurrection of Jesus, that he did rise again, that we have that same hope inside of us.
Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You want to be miserable? Look what it says here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You want to continue in sin and then just waller in the like I said, the rudiments of this life? Continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you just going to... That's not glory. It's not glory.
No.
Could you imagine if they... Say somebody completely had a wipeout. I mean, there was a football game today that somebody, I mean, it was a complete wipeout. Could you imagine if that losing team, they're all slapping hands. Woohoo, we lost. Yeah. Could you imagine that? That'd be the most foolish thing in the world, wouldn't it? That's almost like what he's saying right here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The wonderful grace of God, the wonderful grace of Jesus. Is that any kind of way to live this life? Is that any way to draw people to Jesus Christ? Now, I know it's the Holy Spirit that draws men. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And that's what it's all about. But see, if you continue in sin, people aren't going to see Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And if you're not telling people about it, how are they going to know? How shall they hear without a preacher? It says, verse 2, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father," that's victory, folks,
Amen.
"Even so we also should walk in newness of life." It's just that simple. There ought to be some kind of a fruit. There ought to be some kind of something to you. I mean, some people, man, you don't even have a glimmer of the hope of the resurrection on you. It's not even an inkling that you have the glory of Jesus Christ living inside you.
Right.
Are you even saved tonight? Are you? I hope you are. And I hope that you don't go through this life just completely blacked out by the world. Just completely faded out. Because you're going to miss out. Man, when we're all shouting around the throne in the glory of Jesus Christ, and you're seeing those thrones cast at his feet, man, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. You're going to see it, and you'll be shouting, and you'll be glorifying the Lord then. But man, we have this chance in this life. We have this chance right now to do what we can to give the glory to Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The resurrection is proof of Jesus Christ's judgeship and his deity. The resurrection is proof of Jesus Christ's judgeship and his deity.
Amen.
Man, you can't overemphasize that thing enough. But obviously, before there's a resurrection, there has to be a dying.
That's right.
You got to die. Except the corn or wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And I'm telling you what, folks, man, if it dies, he said, it brings forth much fruit. Think of the fruit that Jesus Christ is bearing right now. Think of the fruit that, because he had to die and was buried and rose again, think of the fruit that he's bore. I was telling somebody when I was reading through the Gospels again, he talked about the kingdom of God being like the grain of a mustard seed. And I don't have enough information to give you tonight about it, but just think about this for a second. He said, I know he said another place, if your faith be as the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and things like that. But he said another place, the kingdom of God is likened to a grain of a mustard seed. And when it is buried and it sprouts up, it becomes a great tree so that all the fowls of heaven, they lodge in it and they shelter themselves in it. And I was thinking about how good Jesus Christ is and how good God is, thinking about how the spread of Christianity, studying church history and different things, thinking about how that thing spread all around the world, that missionaries went into the most pagan, deep, dark places where people were sacrificing their own children and all kinds of crazy things that you've probably heard all kinds of stories about. And the thing you got to be careful is that the goal of those missionaries wasn't to Christianize people and make them civilized. Maybe for some of them it was, but there were some sure enough born-again Christians that went in there and wanted to see other people born again. But just some of the fruit and the results of the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace in the Holy Ghost, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it provides shelter for even the fowls of the air. And if you know anything about the Bible, a lot of times fowls are likened to unclean spirits. And so the whole world has benefited from the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they believed on it or not. The entire world has benefited from that thing. You think that's how powerful the gospel is and how powerful the kingdom of God is. And it's not the physical kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's coming from the gospel right there. And so I was thinking about that thing, how that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed in the whole world, because the gospel went the whole world over. And even Middle Eastern countries today, they're rich from their oil and everything else. But I'm sure those camel jockeys probably wouldn't have tapped into that thing if there weren't Englishmen over there or whatever that were civilized, so to speak. Now, I know they're all wicked men, and no man's going to heaven unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. But I'm just telling you, there's been the gospel and Christianity has affected this whole world.
That's right.
And made it to almost they didn't make it what it is today. But now, again, I want you to understand that I don't believe that we're bringing in some great kingdom. We're not ushering in no kingdom. This is still, Satan is still the god of this world.
That's right.
But the fact is, man, there is an element of truth to that, that the gospel and that the kingdom of God has affected this entire world and benefited it.
Amen.
So that even lost men have benefited from the gospel. Amen? And so, but back to what I was talking about, man, there's nothing better than if you just die to yourself as far as the things of this world go and as far as the things of this flesh. Take your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'll be honest with you, this is a whole lot easier to preach than actually live by it.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord's had to deal with me about all these things. It's a shame how you can read through this Bible and read through this Bible, and it's almost like it becomes not even, it doesn't become second nature. It just goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, right.
And I understand that's an element of flesh and so on and so forth, but you gotta stir yourself up and ask the Lord to help you. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 12. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. See that? You're risen with him, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Man, that's a great promise in the Bible right there. He's forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out. That reminds me of a time when Moses, he begged the forgiveness of the children of Israel for what they were doing. He said, if you won't forgive them, Lord, please blot me. Moses said that. A man. I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I would stand before God and say, Lord, please forgive this, blot me from your book of life. I don't know if I would. I've heard people say, I won't go to hell for nobody.
Yeah.
But Moses had the intestinal fortitude to say, Lord, if you'd have mercy on these people, blot me. That's why God had had a good regard for Moses. Amen. But it says here that Jesus Christ, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I love that verse.
Yes, sir.
I think about Jesus Christ. He went down into the heart of the earth. The Bible says he preached to the spirits in prison. He went to hell for you and I. And when he came out of there, he's going, I don't know if he did that or not. But could you imagine he's making a show of him, bye-bye, suckers. That'd be, man, I think about that. What did he say? How did he triumph over them? Man, I could think of all kinds of things. But That's a great, that's, man, that stirs me up. Having spoiled princes, he spoiled their plans. Could you imagine? It's like, you know, Scooby-Doo. That's a stupid cartoon. But those rotten kids and that dumb dog, amen, they're always spoiling the thing. But hey, Jesus Christ, man, foiled their plans. I know that's goofy, but think about it. Think about it. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility of worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. There's all kinds of folks that try to lay something on you. They'll try to lay this on you. They'll try to lay that on you. And they can use scripture to back it up. But you know what, man? What it all comes down to, what he just talked about, he blotted out our transgressions, nailing it to the cross. That's why you can't ever go wrong going right back to that. I was telling somebody, I forgot who I was talking to, but they said, what if you get this and that when you're witnessing somebody and they're trying to take you there and take you here? Just say, keep going right back to the cross. Go right back to the cross. Jesus died for your sins, and your sins are going to take you to hell. And you can't enter heaven without your sins taken care of if you don't trust Jesus Christ today. You can't go wrong going right back to that thing. It says in verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, that's what I was talking about. If ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. The world's always going to try to put something, especially the world today. My goodness, man, they always try to make you feel bad about this, about that. They got, I don't even know what these words mean. What is xenophobia? I've heard it tons of times. I don't even know what it is. I don't. There's all kinds of phobias. Next thing they're going to say, arachnophobia is a sin. You know, there's going to be all kinds of crazy stuff. But it says, which in verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That's what the thing is. When somebody's trying to lay something on you and try to get you to adhere to what they say, even if they're using the Bible, it's puffing up their flesh. And that's why, man, you just go back to what the Bible tells you, man. Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm following what the pastor says as long as it lines up with this book. Amen. And look in chapter 3 and verse 1. So I hope you folks, man, I know you've heard this before. Christians need to die to themselves daily. Paul said it. I die daily. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're already seated in heavenly places. Amen. We're already seated there. So how is it that a Christian gets all wrapped up in the things of this life? It happens. I mean, it happens. We're going through life, and you get dirty, and you get tied up with the affairs and things of this life. But you got to find a way to break away from them things.
That's right.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's a great blessing right there. You're dead. That's a great thing to say, right? You're dead. But right there, your life is hid with Christ in God. There ain't no better life, man. Yeah, I'm going to get up early tomorrow and go to work, and I'm going to do, you know, that thing. You know, I got bills to pay and all that stuff. But you know what? My life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. All that can go away. I mean, I say that I probably would. I'd be harping and crying if the Lord took my job, or if I got hurt and I couldn't work. I wouldn't be happy about those things. And there are people that go through those kind of things, get hurt on the job and so on. I couldn't imagine what would happen if I got hurt and couldn't work and provide. I mean, that is a sense of pride, you know. A man's got, he wants to provide and work and do all those things if you're any kind of a man. But I'll tell you, imagine if you couldn't work. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust the Lord. That's why it says, set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. But I'm glad no matter what comes, my life is hid with Christ in God. because of that promise of that resurrection. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in what? Glory. I'm telling you, I believe it. The glory is linked to the resurrection and victory. That's all. It's all part of it.
Yes, sir.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Is there something you're giving your too much attention to? What is it you're giving all your attention to, your affection? And you got to harp on it. That's the stupid phone. Some of you people, I went out to dinner with Gabby and the girls the other night, and everybody in there had their face buried in their phone. And I've had my phone on me, and I've been guilty of it, but I'm glad that I'm getting convicted over it, because I don't need to have my face buried in my phone when my kids are around and everything else.
Amen.
And but that's the way this society has gone. Everybody, the whole world's like that. They're all buried in their phones.
Yeah.
That's an inordinate affection. Whatever it is you got to look at, whatever that thing is you got to get on. Your Facebook page is probably, you have inordinate affection for that thing.
Right.
Or the stupid Twitter. Come on. It's so stupid. All of that stuff.
Man.
And you might have an inordinate affection for those things. It might be something else. Who knows? Who knows what it could be? But he said, mortify therefore your members. That needs to be mortified. That means it should be dead. You should be dead to that stuff. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. And my goodness, folks, covetousness seems like it keeps creeping back up. No matter how hard you try to deny it, no matter how hard you know what the scripture says about it, it seems like covetousness keeps coming back. Man, imagine if I could win $2,500 a week for life. Imagine all the things I could do with that money. That's over half a million a year. In 20 years, that's $10 million. Imagine all the things I could do with that for God. For God, I could do that. No, man. That's covetousness. It really is. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, man, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, God Almighty. Jesus Christ is the image of God. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Great, great part of this verse right here. But Christ is all and in all. Amen. You want to give Jesus Christ the glory? Die to yourself. I know you've heard it before. But man, it's a whole other thing. It's easy to talk the talk, but it's harder to walk the walk when it comes to that one. Die to yourself. And folks, glory is tied to the resurrection. Victory. One more thing. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15 again. We'll close here. 1 Corinthians 15.
That's good, bro.
The last couple of verses of this chapter. You ought to have these in your heart. You ought to know what this says already. But let's read it. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he rose again. Because he rose again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Die to yourself. Except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it fall on the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. And until you die to yourself, man, there's going to be very little fruit to bring back to Jesus Christ. Amen, brother.